This week we will be doing Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel. We left off on Yud Gimel Mar Aleph, about five or six lines from the top. So, recording the Mishnah from Daf Beis, which says, Ketzad Poshros Tzaroseihen. So the Mishnah had said that when co-wives fall to a man in Yibam, so if one of those women is an Erva, so the co-wife is also Pater Fim Chalitza. And the Mishnah had said, not only is it Tzara Pater, but also a Tzara's Tzara. And what that means is that, let's say you have Rachel and Leah that fall to Shimon and Yibam. Rachel's an Erva. So we say Leah is also Pater because she's a co-wife of an Erva. Now what happens if Shimon then dies and Leah now falls to Levi? And Levi has another wife. So now the question is, what happens to that new wife, that Levi wife that Leah now becomes a co-wife with? So the Mishnah had said that once a co-wife of an Erva, always a co-wife of an Erva, and then any co-wife of the co-wife also is patered from Yibam Mechalitza. So the Gemara wants to know right now, Minani Mili, how do I know that this din, that an Erva paters the Tzara, that extends to Tzara's Tzara and beyond, any co-wife of a co-wife is also patered? So the Gemara answers, Amar Yehuda Amar Kra, Litzror, when it refers to the co-wife, it could have said Latzur, which would have been a singular phrase referring to the co-wife, but it's Litzror, so HaTorah Ribsa Tzaros Harbe. The Torah seems to include many Tzaros in the Petur of the co-wife of an Erva, not doing Yibam. Ravashi Amar, he says, you don't need a Pasuk, Svarihi. It's logical. Why? Because Tzara, my Taima Asira, why is the co-wife of an Erva Aser to Yibam Chalitza, Dibamakom Erva Kaima? Because she is co-wives with an Erva, so we view her as like an Erva as well. And therefore, Tzara Tzara Nami Bimakom Erva Kayama, meaning once a co-wife is branded as an Erva, then even if she moves on to a new brother, if there's another co-wife, that co-wife will still be a co-wife of an Erva. Because once a woman is a co-wife of an Erva, she gets branded as an Erva herself. And then any future co-wife of hers will be a co-wife of an Erva. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, you don't need the Pasuk. It's logical that any Tzara's Tzara will be Pater from Yibam Chalitza. Continuing in the Mishnah, we said, Ketzim Mesuhin. We said that even though normally a Tzara's Erva is Pater from Yibam Chalitza, but if her co-wife had got divorced or had died before the husband died, then the tzara, the co-wife, is mutter to Yibam Chalitza. So the Gemara says, V'afilu kanas ulbasov girish. It sounds like this is true even if the women were co-wives at some point. Meaning, Reuven is married to Rachel. Rachel is not an Erva to Shimon. And then Reuven marries Leah, and Leah is an Erva to Shimon. So the Chiddush is that if Reuven divorces Leah, the Erva, and then Reuven dies, so then Rachel can do Yibam with Shimon. And the Chiddush of that is, even though there were moments, however long it was, 6 months, a year, where Rachel and Leah were co-wives. So Rachel really was, or Leah really was, a co-wife of an Erva at some point, and yet the Mishnah is still telling me that since at the moment Reuven died, she wasn't a co-wife of an Erva, she could do Yibam with Shimon. Urimini, we seem to have a contradiction, because we have a Mishnah later on, Andaf Lamed, which says, you have Shlosha Achim, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Shnayim Mehen Nisuo Shtei Achuyos, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, Ve'echad Nasu Nachris, and Levi's married to Dina, who's not related to Rachel and Leah. So Girish Echadim Bali Achuyos Es Ishto. So let's say Reuven divorces Rachel, and then Umis Hanosui Nachris. And then Umis Hanosui Nachris. And then he marries the Nachris, meaning the Dina. The Kansa Hamegarish. And then Reuven, meaning Amis Hanosim Nachris, means Levi dies. And then Reuven goes and marries Dina, Umes, and then Reuven dies. So the question is, does this girl, Dina, does she fall to Shimon and Yibam? Says the Gemara, Zuhi Sha'amru, Shemesi on Iskarshu, Saroseya and Mutaros. Yes, yes she does. Why? Because at the time when her husbands have died, she wasn't a co-wife with anyone. And therefore, she'd be mutter. But it sounds like, says the Gemara is inferring this, Taima de Girish Viaka Kanas. If you think about it, Dina, she was never a co-wife with anyone. Because when she was married to Levi, she was Levi's only wife. And then when she was married to Reuven, she was Reuven's only wife. Because Reuven had already divorced his wife previously. So maybe the reason why she falls to Shimon is because she was never actually a co-wife with an erva. Aval, bakanos v'yakak girish. If at one point she was a co-wife with an achos isha, right, with someone who was a sister-in-law of, or eshesach, of one of the brothers, and v'yakak girish only then, let's say Reuven divorced his wife, lo. So that would be a contradiction to the din the Gemara initially made. Essentially the question is, what's the din in a case where a woman is a co-wife with an erva for a short time, but then that husband divorces the erva prior to his death? So do we say this woman is a co-wife of an erva and therefore cannot do yibam? Or do we say at the moment of death she's not and she can? So it seems to be a contradiction of sources. So Rav Yirmiyah, he says, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, says, maybe there are two different authors, one of our Mishnah and one of the Braisa. Why? Hi Tana, the one in our Mishnah, Savar, Misa Mapeles. What is the moment that determines whether someone is a Tsaras Erva or not? It's the moment the husband died. If at the moment the husband died, this woman is not a co-wife with an Erva, then she's mutter to Yivam. And that's the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is that even though she might have been a co-wife with an Erva at some point, but at the moment the husband died, he had already divorced the Erva, she's by herself, and therefore she can do Yibam. However, Vahaitan of the Braisa, Savar, Nisuin Harishonim Mapilin, it's not the moment of death that determines whether she's a Tsaras Erva or not. Rather, it's the fact that her marriage to Reuven. And if there was a moment, even one moment, that she was married to Reuven, and she was a co-wife of an Erva that was also married to Reuven, again, an Erva of Shimon, in that situation, that already potters her as a Tsaras Erva, even if, when Reuven dies, Reuven no longer married to the Erva. So that's a way to explain how this Braisa is not a contradiction to our Mishnah. Rava Amar, he says, no, you don't have to say it's two different opinions. La'olam chatanahu v'zu v'ein tzarach lomar zuktani. And the way the style of the Tanaic sources is the Mishnah gave the extreme example, and the Braisa was in of course. Now what would be the of course? Meaning in our Mishnah, if you had a case, as Rashi says over here, demasnizin dahacha, in the case in our Mishnah, there are moments where the co-wife is married to Reuven at the same time that the Erev is married to Reuven. And nevertheless, our Mishnah still says that when Reuven dies, the co-wife can do Yibam on Shimon. So then, of course, in the Braisa, where they were never even married together, there was no moment where they were co-wives, of course, this woman, the co-wife, quote-unquote co-wife, will be able to yibam with Shimon. So it's simply a zu ve'in tzarach lomar zu, a style where we first present the most extreme case, and then we say, and of course, it would apply in the following case. Okay? Then the Mishnah finally continues, the beginning of Mishnah Daf Beis, and said, choshechol amayin, if a girl who is a ketana, if she has the ability to do miyun, essentially renege from the marriage and say, I don't want this. Again, because her parents or her brother married her off when she was young, so she has the right to say, I don't want this. If she doesn't do it, then the co-wife does chalitza. So says the Gemara, well, why do we just leave it as that? But teimayin hashta b'tis yabim. Why don't we tell her, this ketana, do miyun. You know what miyun does? Miyun retroactively uproots the entire marriage. It will turn out that this erva was never married to the first husband, and therefore this co-wife will never have been a co-wife with an erva, and therefore the co-wife will be able to do yibam. So it's a simple solution. So the Gemara, maybe lema misayele l'Rabbi Ushia. The fact that we don't say this supports Rabbi Ushia. Don Rabbi Ushia. Maybe a ketana girl doesn't have the power to renege on a zika. When do we say ketana can renege? That's only on maimer. We said previously, what's maimer? The same way by a regular marriage we have nisuin and erusin. By yibum, we have maimer. Maimer is the kiddushin derabanan in the context of yibum. So if the yavam does maimer on a ketana, so that means they're married with derabanan, that's when her miyun, she can renege and get out of that marriage without a get. However, if there's a zika, so over here, that's the case, that she's zokuk to the yavam, then her miyun doesn't help to get her out of it. And that's why we don't suggest doing miyun. However, the Gemara says, lo, that's not actually the pshat, that's not why we don't tell her to do yibam. Really, maybe she could do miyun from her zika. Rather, the reason over here why we don't tell her to do yibam, or sorry, to do miyun, is because saras erva shaini. There's a certain chashash, there's a concern when it comes to the koif of an erva, the Tani Rav Yechezkel, miyun ababal muteres la'avim. We've had this previously. That if a girl does miyun to her husband, so she could marry the man that used to be her father-in-law. Because she did miyun, that uproots the marriage retroactively. It turns out this person was never her father-in-law, and she can marry him. And again, the reason why we're not concerned how it looks is because since she was a ketana, she never really solidified that marriage in the first place. So no one really viewed that man as her father-in-law. So now that she uprooted the marriage retroactively, she can marry the man who was once her father-in-law. However, miyun abiyavam asura la'aviv. If let's say her husband passes away, she falls to a yavam. If she does miyun on that yavam, she cannot then marry the yavam's father. Why? Alma mishas nefila nearest kikaloso. Because when a ketana is married to a husband, no one really views that as a serious thing. They're waiting for it to be solidified when she comes a gedola. However, when her husband dies and she falls to a yavam, that zika, it looks like, wow, must be they're married. Meaning, if she's falling to the brother, it must be she was legitimately married to the deceased husband. And now, it looks like she's very much in line to marry the Yavam. And then, Yavam's father would really be her father-in-law. People would view that as being her father-in-law. And so we don't allow her to do miyun on the Yavam and just marry that guy, because people viewed it as it being her father-in-law. And therefore, hachanami, in this case too, with this ketana, we say, Mishas Nefila Nira Kitsaras Bito. When these two women fall, one of them is an erva, one of them is not, that act of falling, it looks like the erva is falling to the yavam as a full-fledged marriage, and the koif as well. So even if this ketana, who's the erva, if she does miyun and gets out of it, yeah, but we still don't want the tsara doing yibum, because people will say, hold on one second, I thought she was Saras Bito. She can't be marrying that Yavam. Now, realizing that the Miyun retroactively uprooted it, people just view it as Saras Bito. So therefore, to avoid that, that's why the Mishnah had said, do Chalitza, and we don't instruct her to do Yivam. Okay, fine. Finally, after 12 daf, we finished commenting on the first Mishnah, and we're ready for a new Mishnah, which really is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shish Arayos Chamuros Me'elu. In the opening Mishnah, in the Masechta, we listed 15 cases of Arayos, where not only is that Arayos, if it falls to Shimon, a pater of Mim Chalitza, but a pater of the Tzara as well. But then you have 6 additional Arayos that are even more stringent from the first 15. Mimnei Shenesuos Leacherim Tzaroseyen Mutaros. In the first 15 cases, if you remember, the woman would fall to Shimon, but her Erva status was specific to only one brother, meaning she was Shimon's daughter. She was Shimon's daughter-in-law. But there are many brothers, so just because she can't fall to Shimon and Yibam, so move down the line and go do Yibam with Levi. These 6 Arayos are unique in that their Erva status is not unique to one brother. It's actually going to be an Arayos to all the brothers. And therefore, if an Erva, one of these 6 Ervas, fall on Yibam, they're going to actually be exempt from the entire process of Yibam and be able to then go and marry someone in the Shuk, marry any random guy. Now, who are these 6 Arayos? Imo, a person's mother. Again, this is talking about who's falling to Shimon in Yibam. Shimon's mother, the Ishes Aviv, Shimon's father's wife, not his biological mother, stepmother, the Achos Aviv, and his aunt, who's the sister of his father, Achoso Me Aviv, and his maternal sister, the Ishes Achi Aviv, and his father's brother's wife, meaning his aunt, but the aunt that's married to his father's brother, the Ishes Achiv Me Aviv, and his sister-in-law, who's the brother of that sister-in-law, they share, it's a paternal brother. Now, Rashi points out that in all these cases, the reason why the Arayos is usher to all the brothers is because, if you think about it, let's take Imo, mother. Well, Sha'arei Hilo Ishes Ha'av, meaning just because it's Shimon's mother, well, Shimon's mother can't be with Levi either, because that would still be Ishes Ha'av. They still share the same father. And in all those six Arayos, there's going to be a reason why this woman cannot fall to any of the brothers, and therefore, her co-wife is Mutter. Now, why is her co-wife Mutter? It's a very important concept. The whole case in the opening Mishnah, when a co-wife is Aser, is when an Erva and her co-wife fall in the context of Yibum, meaning Yibum Shayach. You're in the Parsha of Yibum, so okay, fine. So the Erva can't do Yibum with Shimon, so maybe they'll do it with Levi. And that's when we say that because the Erva herself can't do Yibum with Shimon, so the Tzara is Pater as well. But what if two women fall in a case shelo b'makom mitzvah? So in this is a great example, right? When Shimon's mother falls to Yibum, and Shimon's mother can't marry Levi, Yehuda, any of the brothers because they share the same father. So in that situation, when these girls, the Erva as well as the Tzara, when they fall to Shimon, they're not falling the b'makom mitzvah. Well, if they're not falling the b'makom mitzvah, then she's not considered a Tzara's Erva. That would ponder her, because it's not in the context of Yibum. And therefore, that's why we say that Tzara can actually marry or do Yibum with Shimon. Okay? Bishamai matir natzaros la'achim. So now Bishamai comes along and argues with a concept that we took for granted in the opening perek, which was that we've been assuming the whole time that a Tzara's Erva, at least with those 15 cases in the opening Mishnah, the Tzara's Erva is putter from Yibum and Chalitza. Bishamai just argues on that din. He says that a Tzara's Erva is mutter to Yibum and Chalitza. And as we're going to point out, he simply disagrees with the drasha that we used earlier to explain why the Tzara's Erva is putter. Right? So Bishamai, matirin Tzara's la'achim. The Tzara can marry the achim. Ubeis Hillel, like we said, Beis Hillel Osrin said that the Tzara's Erva is usher to Yibum and Chalitza as well. Chiltu. Now what if the Tzara's Erva goes and does Chalitza with Levi, let's say. She fell as the Tzara's Erva to Shimon. She wasn't really supposed to do that, and she went and did Chalitza with Levi. So what's her status? So Bishamai post lemina kahuna. Well, we know a Chalutz, a woman who's done Chalitza, cannot marry a Kohen. So Bishamai says, well, Bisham is of the opinion that Tzara's Erva is mutter to the brothers. And therefore, this woman was allowed to marry Levi. And therefore, when she does Chalitza, that Chalitza was a valid Chalitza. So she's considered a Chalutz. And therefore, she's puzzled to marry a Kohen. Ubeis Hillel machshirin. And Beis Hillel says she's mutter to marry a Kohen. Why? Because Beis Hillel says a Tzara's Erva is usher to the brothers. And therefore, this Tzara's Erva, had no business doing Chalitza with Levi, so that Chalitza was meaningless. It doesn't render her a Chalitz when you do something you have no obligation to do it, and therefore she's not a Chalitz, and she still can marry a Kohen. Similarly, Nisyavmu, let's say this Tzara's Erva went and did Yibum with Levi. So Bishamai Machshirin, he says, okay, if let's say then that man died, now she becomes a widow, she can go marry a Kohen because that Yibum was valid. Ubeis Hillel Poslin. Beis Hillel says no. Why? Because since the Tzara's Erva was usher to Levi when she went into Yibum, Rashi points out, she made herself into a zona. She's a harlot. She committed an act that was inappropriate, that was usher. And a Kohen cannot marry a zona, someone who commits an avera with respect to arayos. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, when the Tzara's Erva marries Levi when she wasn't allowed to, that makes her into a Zona, and therefore she can no longer marry a Kohen. And says the Mishnah, very famously, Afal pi she'ilu osrin lamatirin, ilu posrin lamachshirin, even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have these big machloksim about the status of these girls, the Tzara's Erva, when she goes and marries Levi, or goes and does Chalitza with Levi. And again, let's clarify, this machlokes has very big ramifications. Meaning, as Rashi points out, the children from the Yibum that Beis Shammai allows, according to Beis Hillel, those children are mamzerim. So it's not like some small machlokes, we disagree on a small point. The ramifications of this machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are the children the product of this relationship mamzerim or not? It's very intense. And nevertheless, lo nimnu Beis Shammai milisa nashim Beis Hillel, in the camp of Beis Shammai, they didn't hold back from marrying women from the Beis Hillel. Follow Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and vice versa. Beis Hillel had no problem marrying women from Beis Shammai. Now, this is a chiddush because you would think that Beis Hillel, if from their perspective, if they know Beis Shammai is relying on Beis Shammai's opinion and doing Yibum, when Beis Hillel doesn't think it's allowed and producing what Beis Hillel would consider to be Mamzerim, why would Beis Hillel want to marry into that? So, foreshadowing, Rashi already tells us the answer is going to be, we'll just spoil it now, which is that it seems to be they had an arrangement where they married each other, and if either one understood or knew that the product of this relationship, or this girl was the product of a relationship that the other side would have said usur on, they would let them know. Oh, by the way, this girl is the product of a tsaras erva and the brother, so Beis Hillel, you should know to stay away. So they kind of kept it safe, where they married each other in general, and anytime there would have been a disagreement, or where one of them wouldn't have wanted to be involved in a relationship, they would let them know it's the product, they know to stay away. Similarly, not only does this apply when it comes to Yibum and Chalitza, but Kol Taharos Vatmeos, Shilu Mataram Velo Tmein. Obviously, Beis Shammai still have many machloksim in regards to the Tumah Tahara status of different kelim and objects. Nevertheless, Lo Nimnu Osin Taharos Elu Agabe Elu. They wouldn't hold back from borrowing kelim one from another. Again, that could have got complicated because I'm borrowing your pot, but maybe you rely on a het that I don't rely on, and therefore, from my perspective, this pot's really Tumah. From the fact that they borrowed, showed that they were okay with it, but again, you could say the same thing, like we're going to foreshadow, it could be they let each other know which of the kelim the other one would have felt would be problematic, and therefore would know to stay away from. So, Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, says the Gemara, my time with the Beis Shammai. We said, Beis Shammai argues in the whole concept that a tsaras erva is aser to the mechalitza. So now, where did he get that from? Why? So the Gemara answers, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Losia ishda misachutza leishzar. So it says that a certain woman, she should not go marry anyone else. Rather, she should do yibum. So chutza, the fact that we call this woman chutza, michlal dekapimis. It sounds like there's someone that's more direct than her. So the implication from chutza is that we're dealing with co-wives. One of them being, let's say, an erva, that would be the pnimis, and the chutza would be the co-wife, and nevertheless, even for the chutza, even for the tsaras erva, the pasuk saying, losia, meaning don't go marry someone else, still do yibum. So Beis Shammai says, you see from the pasuk is telling you that even a chutza, even the tsaras erva should do yibum, and that's why Beis Shammai holds that tsaras erva is mutter do yibum. Ubeis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel do with that pasuk? Yibay luhu, luch rabbi Yehuda marav. When a woman falls to Yibum, how do we know that if a man from the Shuk, a random guy, tries to marry her, that Kedushin will not take effect? And that's even though we normally say that when something's only an Isser Lav, which is the case over here, Kedushin normally does take effect. But over here, it wouldn't. Shenemar, Losia Ishda Mesachucha Lizar, she shouldn't go marry someone else, rather only the Yavam. So losia, that phrase losia ba havaya. The word sia refers to havaya. Havaya refers to the chalos, the taking effect of a kedushin. So it's the pasuk, according to Beis Hillel, is instructing us that if Yavama tries to marry anyone else but the Yavam, losia, that Kedushin will not be Chal. That's how Beis Hillel learns up the Pasuk. Ubeis Shammai, where does Beis Shammai know that from? It says, Miksev Lochutz? He doesn't agree, because Lochutz might imply that. But Chutzaksev, it says Chutzah, which implies Pnimis and Chitzona, like he had said earlier. Ubeis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel respond to that? It says, Kiyim Dechsev Chutzah, Kiman Dechsev Lochutz. It says, Chutzah and Lochutz mean the same thing. Now the Gemara is about to give us a little bit of Hebrew grammar 101, which is the Tanya of Nechemya Omer. Nechemya says, Kol Teva Shetzvicha Lamed B'tchilasa, any word that you're trying to say to something, so the prefix should have a Lamed, Hitil Lah Kasav Hei B'sofa. The way the Torah writes it is with a Hei at the end. So a Hei at the end can substitute for a Lamed at the beginning, but it means the same thing. It means to something. Gemara gives examples. V'tadir Yishmal Kigon. When it refers to certain places in the Torah, it wants to say that the Jewish people went towards that place. It says Elim. The place is named Elim. What does it say? Elima. They went Elima. Elima is the same thing as saying Le Elim. So you see that instead of putting a lam at the beginning, you could put a hey at the end. Machanayim, Machanayima. They went to Machanayim. Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayima. Divlosayima, Yushalayima. Hamidbara. So you see, in all those cases, instead of saying a lamed at the beginning, you can put a hey at the end, and therefore the response of Beis Hillel is that even though it says the word chutzah, it's like it wrote lochutz, because the hey at the end and the lamed at the beginning are interchangeable. It says the Gemara, ubi shamai. Okay, fine. So Beis Shammai really learns from this pasuk of losia hachutzah that is talking about a tsaras erva, and she's chayv du yibam. So the Yehuda Marav min aluhu. So now, how does Beis Shammai know Rav Yehuda Marav's din that the kedushin is not tofes with the yavama? That if a girl falls to yibam and then tries to go marry a guy in the shuk, that kedushin is not going to be chal. How does Beis Shammai know that? Because his pasuk is already taken. So the Gemara answers mil ish zar nafka. It's from the word zar. It says that don't marry a stranger. So that means anyone other than the yavni you try to marry will remain a stranger. Ubeis Hillel nami tefigle mil ishzar. Sounds like a pretty good proof. Why doesn't Beis Hillel learn it out from ishzar? Gemara says, inachanami. Actually, Beis Hillel does learn out the fact that kedushin is not chal with the yavama and a guy in the shuk from the word zar. Okay, fine. But if that's the case, then chutzah lamali. Then according to Beis Hillel, why do I need the word chutzah? It's not to teach me about the Tzaras Erva, because Beis Hillel says Aser. And it's not to teach me about this din of Kishin Tofsin, because we know that from Ishzar. So why do I need Chutzah? So the Gemara answers, Beis Hillel would respond, L'rabos ha'arusa. When it comes to the Chiv of Yibam, so what would happen if Rachel's married to Reuven, but they only had Erusin, and then Reuven dies, does Rachel fall to Reuven's brother Shimon and Yibam? So it comes along the Pasuk of Chutzah, and says that it comes to include even a girl who's kind of on the outside, meaning she never had bia, she never fully consummated this marriage, she considered a chutzah, and nevertheless, lo siya leishzar, she has a chiyav yibam to marry the yavam. So Beis Hillel is going to respond that the word chutzah is coming to teach me that a girl whose husband died when she only had irisin with him is chayav and yibam as well. V'idach, what would Beis Shammai say about that? It says, Michutza hachutza. It says, yeah, I learned both, my din and this din. Because it doesn't just say chutza, it says hachutza. So the extra hey of hachutza, I'm allowed to learn two things from the total phrase of hachutza. V'idach, what would Beis Hillel respond to that? Chutza hachutza u'mashmaluhu. Beis Hillel simply disagrees that there's any difference between the word chutza and the extra hey of hachutza. He doesn't buy into the fact that I could make an extra drasha just because of the extra letter hey. Okay, this was all explanation number one of Rav Shimon ben Pazi as to the reason Beis Shammai says a tsaras erva is mutter to the brothers. Because the pasuk tells us, lo si esh lemes hachutza lishzar, which implies there's a panimis and there's a chitzona. That's all sheet number one. However, Rava Amar, Rava gives a second explanation as to why Beis Shammai says that a tzara's erva is mutter to the brothers. Taimayu de Beis Shammai de ein iser chal iser. He says like this. If you think about it, this woman is going to be two things. Because we're talking about a case where, let's say, Reuven's married to Rachel, and Shimon's married to Leah, and Reuven and Rachel and Leah are sisters. So when Reuven dies, and Rachel falls to Shimon, so Rachel's falling to Shimon with two erva labels. Number one, she was Ishes Ach. She was the wife of Shimon's brother. That's an erva. Number two, she's Achos Isha. She's the sister of Shimon's wife, sister-in-law. That's a second erva. So Rava says that Beis Shammai holds that Ein Iser Chal Iser. You can't have multiple Isurim fall at the same time. And therefore, and Rashi points out, the Iser of Ishes Ach can't fall on an existing erva. So the example Rashi gives is a little bit different than what I said, which is that, let's say, Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. So now, when she falls to Shimon, so there's no Chiyav Yibam, because there's one Erva of Bito, and the Isser of Ishes Ach cannot overlap with the Isser of Bito. And if that's true, then we don't view her as being an erva b'makom mitzvah yibum, meaning clearly there's no mitzvah yibum by a daughter. If a daughter falls to a father, there's no yibum. So what we're saying is, if you say in iser chal iser, the whole heter of yibum is you have an iser ishes ach, but now you have a heter yibum. But if the iser ishes ach is not even chal because there's already an iser bito, so then we're not going to say there's mitzvah yibum. And if there's not a mitzvah yibum, then this tzaras erva is a tzaras erva shelo b'makom mitzvah. And we said before, she could then marry the brothers. Says the Gemara, well, which iser came first? In the case, let's say, of the two sisters, like I mentioned before. Hecha denasa meis, biyaka denasa chai. I understand in a case, denasa meis. First, Reuven married Rachel. And then Shimon married Leah's sisters. Then, if Reuven dies and Rachel falls to Shimon, lo asi iser achos isha v'chayela iser ishasach. That makes sense that we're not going to say, because what came first? First, Reuven was married to Rachel. So Rachel to Shimon was first to the ishasach, and only then became the achos isha. So it makes sense that the Isser Achos Isha will not be Chal and overlap on the Isser Ishesach. And therefore, she'd be a stranger. Therefore, it would be a perfectly valid Sarah could marry the Yavin, no problem. Ella, what about Nasa Chai? Yachri Nasa Meis. So if you have a case where Shimon married Leah first, and only then, right, what are we talking about over here? Right, if you have a case, Shimon married Leah first, and only then does Reuven marry Rachel, well, what was Shimon to Rachel? First, she was his sister-in-law, and only then was she the Ishasach. So, Achos Isha Kadim. So, then we would say that since Achos Isha came first, so then that your Tzaras Erva. And therefore, the tzara of the erva should not be able to do yibum. So it does the whole pshat of ein iser chal iser only works in one scenario, not in the other scenario. But yet we said, according to Beis Shammai, that tzara's erva is always mutter. The Gemara answers, no. Kiven de lo asi iser ishes ach, the chayel iser achos isha. It's true. If the iser achos isha comes first, then what does it mean that the iser ishach doesn't overlap? That would mean then that you're not in the context of Yibam. Because remember, the context of Yibam is only when you have an Ishes Ach, the Yibam comes to tell you it's Mutter. So if she was his Achos Isha first, and the Isser of Ishes Ach never was Chal, then it comes out that there was never a Mitzvah of Yibam here. And it would turn out, Havi Alei Tzaras Erva, Shalom Mako Mitzvah. Now she falls as the tzara of an erva, but not even in the parsha of Yibam. Like we said before, Visharia, when the tzara's erva falls, when there's no parsha of Yibam to be had, then the tzara's erva is mutter, and that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Okay, then we said, Choltu Beis Shammai Poslim. We said at the top of the Amud that if the tzara's erva does chalitza on Levi, so Beis Shammai says, since you were supposed to do chalitza or allowed to do chalitza, you're considered a chalitz and you're possible to do a kohen. Whereas Beis Hillel holds, you weren't supposed to do that, so you're not a chalitz at all, and you can marry a kohen. So the Gemara wants to know, pshita. Meaning, why are we know that each one holds how they hold. Why do we have to give ramification of chalitza, what they hold about the chalitz? The answer is, lafuke de ruchem ben nuri. It's to exclude the opinion of ruchem ben nuri. To Amar, who says, bo vin nisken lehem letzara shiu chalitza lomas yamos. He actually said, the chalim shmeik takana, that it's a tzara's erva, should, l'kachila, as a takana, go and do chalitza. So you might have thought that, well, once the Chacham are going to make a takana, maybe even Beis Hillel would agree that she should do it, she'd be considered a chalutz, and she'd be passed to a kohen. Kamash malon, the Beis Hillel machshirin. The chiddush is that even though Yocham and Nuri said that they should make a takana for them, for these tzaras erbas do chalitza, Beis Hillel did not agree with Yocham and Nuri. He didn't agree a takana was necessary. And therefore he said, since this chalitza was completely unnecessary, this woman does not get labeled as a chalutz, and therefore she can marry a kohen. So I think we'll stop here, because the entire daf, the next daf, and continuing on in this amud, is going to be discussing a brand new sugya, a very important sugya, the sugya of Los Escotidu, the sugya of two different people, individuals, camps, communities, following two different menhagim, at taking the lead of the Mishnah, which had said that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai held two different things and yet seemed to overlap or acknowledge the other opinion. So we'll see that next time, but we'll stop here for now.